I met him, Brother Jay, who used to be so strong and healthy and everything. And now he's kind of like the folks that was married a couple, 60 years. And he looked over at his wife and he said, I'm proud of you. She said, hey. I'm proud of you. And she said, hey. He said, I said, I'm proud of you. She said, yeah, and I'm tired of you too. You get a lot of things. But I look around, I see so many things here. And I remember when Barry was in school, and we'd go out there and play ball with the ball team and meet in the old building over there. And I remember when you first come into this building, I was pastoring up at, at that time, New Washington, Indiana. And just a lot of precious, precious memories here. And a lot of folks we've seen through the years, and we appreciate brother back there from Louisiana, a guy named Tex, and a guy looked at him. He said, hey, Tex, where are you from? In Texas. He said, I'm not from Texas. He said, I'm from Louisiana. He said, well, why you got a name, nickname Tex? He said, because I didn't want anyone to call me Louise. Well, I tell you, it's good to see the Rochesters. I love these folks, and I'm so glad. And I didn't get over to when they honored y'all over there at the, not too far from where we are. I'm in East Tennessee there, and Brother Ralph Sexton had them over there and honored them in a great way. And I'll tell you, it was absolutely wonderful. I just appreciate these folks and everything they've done. And just to get up here and sing and keep singing and serving God. And I looked at the little girl there, and I thought, there's a new generation coming on. And there's so many folks here we know and appreciate and love. And Brother Benny, so good to see you. And Brother Durbin Spears. How many remember Brother Steve got up here and sung that song? It probably already went over that. Every morning at the church, you could see him arrive. He stood 5'5" and weighed 145 or something like that. And Big D, yeah. And we had a wonderful, wonderful time. And I just look back at those times and thank the Lord for all that he's done. I want you to take your Bible and turn with us to the book of Revelation. I'm honored to preach tonight. I appreciate the message I heard earlier and the day when I got in. And we had revival through Wednesday night, so I couldn't leave till this morning from over in East Tennessee. And Brother Dana Williams was with us, a wonderful man of God, and preached some wonderful messages to our hearts and helped us, and we are so appreciative of that. I thought about that message. I have been blessed, and it goes right along with the message that I'm preaching tonight. I want to preach on the seven Beatitudes of Revelation. It's the blessing book. In fact, Matthew chapter 5 has 9 Beatitudes. But when you come into the book of Revelation, there are 7 Beatitudes or 7 blessings. Now, why are they called Beatitudes? Somebody said because they're beautiful attitudes. I want to just use the first and the last. I'll give you the outline and you can just look at it and hopefully we'll be able to finish it. But I want to talk about 7 places in the book of Revelation where it says blessed. And the blessedness in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3, there's the blessedness of reading. And he talks about a threefold blessing here. The blessedness of reading. And then in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13, there's the blessedness of resting. Blessed are they that die in the Lord, and their labors do follow them, and they rest in the Lord. And then in Revelation 16:15, it says blessedness here of being ready, in Revelation 16 and verse 15. And then in Revelation 19 and verse 9, the blessedness of rejoicing. And there was rejoicing there in heaven. And then we're going to look at the Revelation 20 and verse 6, the blessedness of resurrection. Blessed is he had part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. And then we're going to look at Revelation 22, 7, the blessedness of being raptured. The blessedness of being called home. And then the last one we're going to look at is in Revelation 22, 14, the blessedness of being rewarded. Now, if you're writing those down, let me just give them to you once again. The blessedness of reading, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3. The blessedness of resting in Revelation 14 and verse 13. The blessedness of
being ready in Revelation 16 and verse 15. Revelation 19:9, the blessedness of rejoicing. The bride had made herself ready and there was rejoicing. And then the blessedness of resurrection in Revelation 20 and verse 6. And then Revelation 22:7, the blessedness of being raptured. And then we're going to look at the blessedness in Revelation 22:14 of being rewarded. And that will be our thoughts tonight. We'll share with you. Now, the study of the book of Revelation, when you study this book here, you're going to be in for a blessing. It's the blessing book. And we read that right on the first page there. In fact, there's two books that the devil hates, and you know that. One of them is the book of Genesis, and the other is the book of Revelation. And the devil hates these. And by the way, I'll tell you why he hates the book of Genesis and Revelation. In the book of Genesis, it talks about his doom. But in the book of Revelation, it carries it out. And you know over there in Romans chapter 16, it says there that Satan will be crushed under our head shortly. Every now and then, the devil just give me a fit. I just say shortly. You know, shortly, kind of like that boy that saw that girl that, and he told her, said, you're ugly. And the mama told the other mother, said, listen, your son has embarrassed my daughter. And said that every time he sees her, he says that she's ugly. And that little boy was seen her the next day there, and he looked at her and looked real closely. You know, that's what you can tell the devil. You know, shortly, I mean, it's coming to pass. And I want to tell you, thank God. Did you know that the devil is not mentioned in the first two books of the Bible? In fact, he's not mentioned in the last two chapters of the Bible. And what a wonderful thing it is. And then the devil, he's waged war against the book of Revelation and also against the book of Genesis. He tells us that Genesis is a myth and that Revelation is a mystery, so just don't bother with any of it. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm glad I've read the book of Revelation. I know how this thing, hey, we win. Thank God. This book here tells us how it's all going to finish. And I praise the Lord for that wonderful truth. The book of Genesis is the beginning book. The book of Revelation is the blessing book. It all tells us in the book of Genesis the culmination, how it begins. But also in the book of Revelation, we find the completion there. And so for the first example God gives us there in the book of Genesis, we see the first Adam and the reigning of the earth. But in the book of Revelation, we see the last Adam reigning in glory. And oh, what a reign that's going to be. And you know what? The book of Genesis opens up and you see there, you see night and darkness and seas that are created. But then you come to the book of Revelation, there's no more darkness, there's no more sea. And all this, what a wonderful book we have there in the book of Revelation. As you go to the book of Genesis there, you find presented there the bride to her husband Adam. In the book of Revelation, you see there the bride, the church presented to her, to the groom, the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Genesis, you find there a tree of life in the Garden of Eden. And then we find in the book of Revelation, there's a tree of life there, and it has 12 different kinds of fruit on it for the healing of the nations. In the book of Genesis, you see sin as it begins and death and the curse. When you come to the book of Revelation, thank God, no more sin, no more curse, no more, all that's gone, no more death now. Thank God for that wonderful, wonderful truth that we have. And you know, if you come to the book of Genesis, my friend, you'll find there Satan appears for the first time, but then he appears the last time in the book of Revelation. In the book of Genesis, man is driven from the garden, from God's face. But in the book of Revelation, man sees God's glorious face. And I thought about that. I want to look upon his face. In the book of Genesis, Satan utters the first lie ever heard. But he tells us in the book of Revelation, my friend, when he says, ye shall not surely die, first lie. And then no liar is going to come and allowed to be in that part of heaven. Now we'll not take them up in order as these seven we're going to look at. But let's look at the first one and let's look at the last one. And by the way, when you look at these, there's seven of them. And I want to put them together like this. You look at these four and they refer to the present that we're going to look at. Four of them. The present actions that's involved. Then the last three, they're going to talk about the future as we'll look at and we'll see. We sing that song, Count Your Blessings, named it one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. And there's another verse of that says, count your blessings, count them by the score. And it will surprise you because there's millions and millions more. Amen. Thank God for the blessing. Today we look at just seven and four here and now and three in the future. Look, if you will, at Revelation. We're going to put these two together. Revelation chapter, the first one and the last one. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3, here's the blessing of reading. And then we're going to look at Revelation 22:14, the blessing of being rewarded. So look at Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 3. Blessed, you'll mark that. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. So here's the blessedness of reading. I want you to notice that. Blessed is he that readeth, blessed are they that hear, and blessed are those who keep the sayings that are written therein. Now, reading and hearing and keeping. And here's why he says, for the time is at hand. When I thought about that, the time is at hand. Now, the time is at hand. I believe the days of the Lord are upon us. Now, right now, we're living, I believe, in the day of grace. But I'm telling you, right, it's going to be soon that we're going to be in the day of Christ. Philippians 1:6. And then it's going to be long, the tribulation's coming, and there's going to be the day of the Lord. And then there's going to be the day of God when judgment comes upon this earth. And God, my friend, let that crowd march in the streets. You see all this stuff going on. I don't want nobody to go to hell. I wish everybody gets saved. But I'm telling you, one day God, my friend, is going to deal with that crowd and their sin and their ungodliness. They don't want nothing to do with God. They don't want nothing to do with the Bible or anything else. And so we see here. Now, the revelation is the unveiling. You know that. It's the apocalypse, the unveiling. And so we're going to see Christ in his greatness and his glory here in this wonderful book. Now, I want you to notice this. And by the way, in his earthly life, he's a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. The Bible tells us there that he was rejected. He was crucified. But my friend, when you see him later in the book of Revelation, it's a whole, total different story. He says, read. That is, when I think about this word read, as you see there, see it in verse number 3 there. And blessed is he that readeth. And so here, get it in your head and learn it. That's the reason why this little girl up here singing these songs, I just thought, brother, when you were off the scene one day, thank God, that little old girl's still singing and serving God, and mom and dad's off the scene. Isn't it wonderful to see our children? I have no greater joy than see my children walk in truth. Thank God, I'll tell you, to hear they walk in truth. Oh, listen, read it. Get it in your head and learn it. Let it become a part of you. Meditate upon it. Get it in your heart and life. And then hear, get it in your heart and love it. Get it in your heart and love it. And my friend, not only do we love it, but we ought to learn it. We ought to live it. And then get it, keep it here. When I think about keep it, get it in your home and live it. Joshua said, well, I wouldn't miss Joshua. I'll tell you what, if we'd have some men that would just stand up and be men. And say, by the grace of God, my home is going to go for God. And I don't be mean and hateful, but I'm telling you right now, we need some men to stand up and take a stand and say, by the grace of God, I'm going to take my family. That wife say, honey, I've been waiting on that. I'm going to get behind you. I'm going to stand with you. Thank God. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, if you got a submissive wife and you got a loving husband and you got obedient children, you got heaven in your home. Do you know that? And I'll tell you what, you just take one of them out and you got hell in your home. And I don't have to tell you preachers that, you know. You deal with churches and homes and families. Right now, listen, we've got several families in our church. Grandparents are raising children. And we've got, I know of two that's in prison. One is in a halfway house and another is in somewhere out here in Nashville somewhere. No, she's back in jail there in our local jail because of drugs and alcohol and sin. I'm telling you now, the Bible Belt, we are the buckle of the Bible Belt in Tennessee, but now it's become the drug belt. Opioids and these kids, I'll tell you right now. Brother Benny, I was in a prison here some time back, a jail really. I said, how many of you, just be honest, I don't want to embarrass you, but I said, you're here because of alcohol and drugs. You raise your hand, every hand. Not a one of them that did not raise their hand because of alcohol and drugs. And some of them had is robbery. Some of them serving years in prison. Some of them in there have been raped. Some of them in there have been abused. Some of them in there. Hey, I'm telling you, the devil won't show you the end of the matter. I'll tell you what, he is a. You know that? Everybody wins. Come on in. Come on. Everybody wins after fire, you know. And they're sucking you in. That's what they're doing to our young people. God help us. And you say, well, what do you do as a parent? I'll tell you what you do, you pray. I'll tell you what you do, you cry. I'll tell you what you do, you get on your face before God and you give them to the Lord and you pray and ask God. Hey, I know some of us, our hearts are broken. Our children has not done exactly like we thought they ought to do and our hearts are crushed, but don't give up on it. I'm going to tell you what, read it. Get it in your head and learn it. Hear it, get it in your heart and love it. Keep it, get it in your home and live it. When you read it, it makes you sure. The foundation of God standeth sure. And he puts a seal on it. This is the seal, he says. Not only do we read it to be sure, hear it to be saved. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know, there'd be a lot of people get saved if their church preached the gospel. Just the gospel. I'm telling you what, it's a social gospel. It's an entertainment. It's not where they preach Christ and him crucified. You know what? Keep it to be saved. I love what Peter said. And blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy have begotten us again to a lively hope. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Somebody said, yeah, if you make it, you better read that next verse or kept by the power of God. You could no more save yourself, keep yourself, than you could save yourself. You can't keep yourself saved. You can keep yourself in the world, keep yourself from idols, but God is the one who saves you, and he's the one who keeps you. By the way, last time I checked, he's not lost any of them. Then I want to come to the last, look at the last verse of this blessed, Revelation 22:14. First of all, the blessedness of reading. Secondly, the blessedness of reward. The blessedness of reward. And we find here, it said, blessed are they that do. Now, wait a minute. We've read about read, hear, keep, now do. Blessed are they that do his commandments, and they that may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates. Now, if reading makes you sure, and hearing hear to be saved, and keep it to be saved, then do it to be satisfied. I love that old song that says, I'll be satisfied. Oh, thank God, I'm glad I'm satisfied. I don't have to have one thing this world has it offered me. I tried that when I was in sin, lost without God. And I'm going to tell you what, it never satisfied. But thank God, the minute I got saved, the minute I got a drink from the fountain, the minute I got the bread of life, the minute I got saved, God gave me the joy of the Lord. And it's been my strength and my help through the years. Thank God for his mercy, his grace, and his love. Oh, thank God to be satisfied. Do it. Do his commandments. That's what he said. Now, I want you to think just a minute about these commandments. First of all, doing his commandments tells us that we really know him. 1 John 2:3. Now, you preachers know this. Hereby do we know that we know. Somebody said, you can't know you're saved. I said, I got one better than that. I know that I know. We know that we know we're saved because if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments. You know what? John had a bad habit of calling people liars. He said it several times. And you know why he said it? Because exactly what some people, they're lying. We got some folks in our churches living like the devil. Now, some of them have got a head, and some of them are just, you know, they got one foot in the church, one foot in the world. And brother, sometimes you feel like, how do they keep coming? I don't know. But I'll tell you what, I believe you just like the old fellow said, keep shooting that hole, there's a squirrel in there somewhere. Amen. And pray God, get a hold of their heart. But I want you to see, here's the second thing. Doing his commandments shows our love for Christ. In John 14:15, if you love me. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. I don't know if any of you ever knew old brother Bill Schaffner. I was so discouraged as a young preacher. Old brother Bill was a straight shooter, brother. He'd preach and he'd go, kind of like brother, reminds me a little bit of brother Deborah, Spears. And Durbin. And he so I said to him, I said, Brother Bill, why won't people come to church and live right? He said, Brother Bob, I'll tell you why. I said, they ain't saved, they don't love Jesus. And that's the truth. If you love Jesus, you're gonna be in God's house. If you love Jesus, and they're not saved. And some people not saved, and you can't love somebody that they don't know. John 13:34-35, doing his commandments will be a testimony to the world around us. I love this. A new commandment. Now, I'm giving 10.
Hallelujah.
By the way, 613 strings hanging down from the tallit. That's a 613 laws. And the Lord said, I'm going to reduce him down to 10. And then he said, I'm going to reduce him down to 2. And if you keep these two, you take care of the 10 and you take care of the 613. Love God and love your neighbor. You know what? We think we love God. But I was listening to a tape and I heard, I believe it was Alfred P. Gibbs. And Alfred P. Gibbs, I believe it's him. Said he's going home and said he went up the road there and everything. He saw smoke coming and everything. He said, that's on my street. He said he got up there a little bit closer. He said, it's my house. And he got up there a little bit closer and he said, oh, it is my house. But he looked and it wasn't his house. It was his neighbor's house. And he said, thank God, it's not my house. Now, if you loved your neighbor like you love yourself, you'd say, well, thank God that wasn't my neighbor's house. That's my house. Honey, so it's our house. Now, some of you look at me like a calf looking at a new gate. That's really why we don't love God like we think we do. We don't love our neighbor. And I know it's sure a big chore, isn't it? Revelation 22:14, and we see here, we just read that wonderful verse there. Blessed are they that do his commandments, and they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Oh, listen, I'm going to tell you the reward and all. Not just of getting a reward and having a place. And I'm going to tell you there's three things that I believe that every one of us could have. And I believe that if I could just hear a conversation, well done, good and faithful servant. If I could just receive a crown to lay at his feet. But there's one other thing I'd like to get. I'd like to be close. You say, can you be? Well, look at Revelation chapter 3. And look, if you will, at verse number 21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me. To hear a conversation, well done. To have a crown, to throw it, lay down at his feet, and say you're worthy. And then to be close. To be able to be close. Oh, he that overcometh shall grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I have overcome, and I sit down with him at his Father's throne. Oh, wouldn't that be something? I tell you right now, I know there's going to be a lot of people in front of me in a lot of ways, but I want to be faithful. I do want to hear well done. With all of my heart, I do. And so I want to be, and then here's number 3 and number 6 on that list. First of all, blessed of being ready. Look at chapter 16. Look at verse 15. Turn your page there if you would. 16:15. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Are you ready for the rapture? Would you be John said this, my little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed that he's coming. You know, I believe there are a lot of people that's on this social media today. We talk about music with our young people, but I'm telling you, social media is getting preachers and deacons. And I'm going to tell you, pornography has got folks wrapped up in all this stuff that they get on, and they're watching that stuff and say, hey, listen, you take a smartphone. You take an iPhone or an Android phone, and you put it in the hand of a 16-year-old, 14-year-old, they can't handle what they're going to look at. It's almost just pushing them out into sin. They cannot handle it. And I'll tell you right now, you think about it when you was that age. And I'll tell you right now, they're seeing things and they're hearing things that their mind is just exploding. And all of a sudden, the marriage relationship and things like that, and all them pictures in their minds and things. Oh, how Satan works like this. Revelation 16 is about a horrible day of tribulation. It's going to come upon this earth. And those people is going to go through. And I want to tell you, the church is not going through the tribulation period. You don't need to. You don't need to start packing up, saving up. Listen, getting everything ready and think you're going to make it through the tribulation. I talked to a Jehovah's Witness one day, and they told me that they built their houses better because they're getting ready for that time. I said, brother, when all hell breaks loose on this earth, you don't have a house that's going to withstand that. When men are going to gnaw their tongue for pain, when fire's going to come down from God out of heaven, I'm going to tell you what, those creatures are going to be loosed up out of that pit, and all them things that happened in Revelation 16, I'm going to tell you, the seals and the vials and the trumpet judgment, all that's coming upon this earth. Aren't you glad you say? Thank God I'm glad this world's not my home. And then I want you to see the blessedness of being raptured. Look at chapter 22 and verse 7. Being ready and being raptured. The Bible tells us here in Revelation 22, 7, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. I'm going to tell you right now, today, I'll tell you right now, the Lord could come at any minute. And I believe with all my heart that we're living in the last days. I believe God gave us the president he gave us. I believe God put Donald Trump in office. And I could tell you why I believe God put Donald Trump in office. Wouldn't you hate to know what kind of a Supreme Court justice we'd have under Hillary Clinton? Wouldn't you hate to know the borders and ICE and everything else is just, and we'd have all hell break loose in this country. Just about anyway. It's just going to probably lead up to a civil war. If he gets in for another term, I'm going to tell you. But can I tell you something about Donald Trump? Listen, there was two ladies in the aisles of Lewis. And their last name was Smith. One of them was humped over, crippled. One of them was blind. And those two ladies prayed for revival. And they got a hold of Duncan Campbell. Duncan Campbell couldn't come. And they said, Duncan Campbell's got to come. God showed me. Those two sweet ladies. And they've been praying for revival. And Duncan Campbell has a cancelization, some storm or something. He said, I can come. She said, I knew you could come. She said, you sending for Duncan Campbell, he can come. Those two sisters met with him and said, we won't know, are you thoroughly right with God? We can't have revival if you're not right with God. Well, they began to pray. Duncan Campbell came to the aisle right off of Herbides there in Scotland. And those ladies prayed. Oh, and they were praying and having all-night prayer meetings, praying in a barn. And one morning, one of them got up off his feet, walked out, and he looked. And out there was lights on all over, you know, during the night, lamps and all they had, no electricity. And they said, something's going on. People were getting saved. People were crying out, oh, God! Oh, God, don't let me go to hell. Screaming, praying. 700 people went down to the police station because the chief of police was a godly man. They were all around there and they said, we've been arrested not by you but by God. And they laid down there all over the place. They laid in the fields, on the road. And Duncan Campbell come in the church. He walked down the aisle. People fell down. And God saved. People all around the church, he couldn't get in the church. Many times he didn't preach, he didn't have to preach. He said it wasn't because of Duncan Campbell, it was because of God. Amen. And then women prayed and he had a young man get saved named Donald Smith. And Donald Smith was such a great influence. And he helped him. And you just go and on your phone, don't do it now, on the revival of Lewis, the Isles of Lewis. And you'll see Donald Smith, and he talks. And they interviewed him. And Donald Smith was so greatly used. And Duncan Campbell used the Bible. And Donald Smith used the Bible. That was greatly used in that revival. Well, it was a lady named Mary Ann McLeod. And she moved to the United States in about 37. She married a guy named Fred, and they had a child. The first child was named Fred after the dad.
The first girl was named after her, Mary Ann. The third child was named after, was named Elizabeth. But those two sisters, those two aunts, sisters, were aunts to Mary Ann. Sent that Bible, they thought so much of her, they sent that Bible to her. And she kept that Bible. And she loved Donald Smith so much, she named her fourth son Donald. And that Bible is on the in the Oval Office and the 45th President of the United States. He took, I'm about to shout. He laid his hand on that Bible, and he laid his hand on the Bible that Abraham Lincoln, and he took there sworn in and the Oval Office there lays that Bible there that his mother sent him and gave him when he was 9 years old. Now, I don't know if he's saved. I know one thing. Brother C.T. Townsend, he said, I was one of about 110 preachers, the top evangelicals across the country were called up there. He said Mr. Pence took charge of it. He said it was like a revival. He said it got out of the banks. He said there's praising God, there's shouting, there's praying, there's crying. And he said, I'm telling you right now, God's trying to do something. Folks, God is trying to do something. And if God don't do something in our church, it seems like he's doing more in the government than he's doing in our church. Thank God for that man. And I'll tell you, I pray for him. And I do, I pray that God will help him and God will give him guidance and wisdom. And I think Mr. Trump has had a great, but I'm telling you right now, I believe this thing's just about, we're just about to go home there. And I believe that we may even see some get in their face. When they go low, kick them. Hey, that kicking can go both ways, friend. You better know it. And I'm going to tell you right now, but that's the kind of, get in their face. Maxine Waters. Phew. That gag a maggot. You say, I didn't know we was going to have politics. Now, honey, hang on. You ain't through yet. I'm telling you right now, hey, we better get back to God and get back to fearing God where they can fear God and listen. We can have the power and presence of Almighty God. I'm praying for God to do something. Oh, blessed. He said, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. There's four chapters in the Bible that deal with the rapture of the church. One of them deals with a person. That's 1 Thessalonians 4. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven. And one of them deals with a place. John 14. I go to prepare a place for you. And then I'm going to tell you in 1 Corinthians 15, it deals with provision. God's going to do something for your body. This corruptible, it's a mystery. It's a sacred secret. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We'll all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound. And the dead, thank God, will be raised. And we'll be caught up together with them. John Phillips said, I don't know whether I'm going to be in that crowd that says, oh, death, where's thy sting? Or that group that says, oh, grave, where's thy victory? He said, I've learned both parts. I have too, brother. And we all join in the chorus and say, thanks be to God that giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then there's another chapter, not only 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and then also there in John 14 and 1 Corinthians 15, but Philippians chapter 3, and it talks about a promise. You see, all of you, when you got redeemed, everything didn't get redeemed when you got redeemed. Do you know that? Right. Turn to Romans 8:23. He ain't redeemed your body yet, and that's going to be the adoption. That's when you get the spirit of adoption. You're groaning right now. Brother Jay, when we get up now, sometime we groan. My wife groaned the other day. She got up and I groaned a little bit. I said, honey, that had a little harmony to it there. Do that again. She said, you're crazy. But I'm telling you right now, brother, one of these days, thank God, we're going to have a glorified body. Our body is going to be fashioned like his. He said, listen,
Our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change this vile body, that it may be likened in his glorious body, whereby he's able to subdue all things unto himself. Oh, you know what's going to take place? You know what's going to have to happen? You're going to have a metamorphosis. Huh? This old body, that old grub worm, he see an old grub worm down there walking, crawling around. He said, "Boy, I wish I was a butterfly. Boy, I wish I could fly like that." One day he got an odd feeling. Climbed up on a limb on a tree. And he went through all this, what he was doing, having this metamorphosis. And all of a sudden it broke open. And just a minute, he flew to the heavens. And he looked down and said, "I'm not a grub anymore. I can fly. One day we're going to fly. One day we're going to live this old sinful body, sinful earth, and we're going to be with him and like him, and we're going to see him as he is."
Amen.
Oh, what a promise God has given us. Well, let me get on quickly. Number five, I want to put here the number five and number six together. The blessedness of resting, Revelation 14:13. And I love this verse. And then the blessedness of resurrection. Those two I want to join together if we could. Look, if you will, and you think about this resting in Revelation 14:13. "I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their works do follow them." You know, I read Matthew 11:28-29. I don't know, 30, that many times. But there's two rests there. There's a rest. "Come unto me, all ye that labored heavy laden." Now, there's a rest given. Give you rest. And then he said, "Learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find it." Well, there's a lot of people that's been saved, but they've never found that rest. They've never learned. Why did Jesus, the scripture say, "Lie down in green pastures"? Most pleasant color to the eyes, two colors, blue and green. God wants us to look that way. He don't want you to lie down in brown pastures. Lie down in the fact you're saved. He's your ship. Green pastures. Thank God, eternal life we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a promise. What a blessing we have there. You know what? Now you look at this verse, Revelation 14:13. By the way, there's a physical rest, there is a spiritual rest, and there's an eternal rest. And that's what he's talking about here, this eternal rest in Revelation 14:13. Now, something we face, "Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord." Death to a believer is not a foe, it's a friend. Now, I know one day death's going to come. And they're going to gather around, and about all the people I see laying there, they got their mouth open. You know, laying there. We walk in, sometimes we sing around the bed. Sometimes we pray and we join hands. We know it's not going to be long that they cross over. But I'm going to tell you what, death is not, that's the only way you're going to get to heaven besides death or the rapture. And God takes them out of those sin, sick, cursed body that's hurting and ailing and pain and sorrow, and puts him right in the presence of God Almighty. Not only something we face, but death is we find. Rest from our labors. We're going to rest for all eternity. And then something that follows. He said, "And their works do follow them." What did Psalms 23:6 say? "There surely goodness and mercy shall..." That's those two that woman that was a little bit mentally deranged come in Mr. Moody's office there and said, "I've got two men that follow me everywhere I go." Said, "They're outside right out there now." And he looked out, there wasn't nobody. And he said, I know them. That's Mr. Goodness and Mr. Mercy. And he read this scripture and said, "They're going to follow you all the days of your life, and you're going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So don't be worried. She walked out and she looked over and said, "Well, if y'all go on me, come on, Mr. Mercy, Mr. Goodness." Thank God, I'm glad goodness and mercy can follow us all the days of our life until we dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Oh, rest, rewards. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 6, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Oh, the blessedness of resurrection. The blessedness of knowing that, listen, I wrote this down because I knew I wouldn't remember it. Hell can't have me. Death can't hurt me. Grave can't hold me. The world can't hinder me. The flesh can't hamper me. And the devil can't harm me. Thank God I'm going to be like him. You are too. Dogmatic. You can be dogmatic about those three things in 1 John 3:2. You're going to be with him. You're going to be like him. You're going to see him as he is. Thank God you know that. And then here, I use this one because this is right in the middle. There's three on this side. Look at Revelation. Turn to Revelation 19:9. And here in Revelation chapter 19, verse 9, is the blessedness of rejoicing. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 9. Three, and this of course is the marriage supper of the Lamb. Revelation 19:9. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are true, the true sayings of God. Oh, to rejoice that one day we're going to be united forever. One day, as the scripture said, that there's going to be a resurrection before there's a rapture. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. And then we, which are alive, remain, are going to be called up. That's the rapture. And then there's going to be a reunion. And then there's going to be a reigning. All that's going to be possible because of his wonderful promise. Blessed. Blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are true sayings of God. Oh, aren't you thankful for the beatitudes of the Revelation? The blessings that God gives us in this wonderful book. Blessed. Blessed. Oh, I love that wonderful promise he gives us there. A lost person has none of these. They can't claim one of these. But thank God, because you're saved. You know the Lord Jesus. You've been born. You've got the second birth. You don't have to worry about the second death. You don't have to worry. Listen, he's going to bring the doom of the damned up there and call him. And the Bible said the devil that deceived him is going to be cast in the lake of fire. Oh my, I thought about in my mind all them 20 people killed in that vehicle, that, what you call it, limousine. All 20 of them. I mean, 18 of them in there, and then two of them bystanders. They didn't catch on fire. What kind of wreck did they have? You know, I just thought about that. Here they've been going drunkenness to a wine thing, and I guess maybe a wedding or something. I don't know what it was exactly. But all this world is not looking for the fact that Jesus could come or death could come. And the way death finds is the way hell, judgment's going to find you. The way judgment finds you is the way hell's going to find you. And brother, I'll tell you, there's a lot of people that are living not for this world. You know what? When I thought about that blessing, and if you know this little chorus, sing it with me. I am blessed. I am blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning, till I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. I am blessed. Would y'all come and sing that song that y'all sung right there? What was the title of it? I've been blessed. Aren't you glad we can? Have you been blessed? Has God been good to you? God's been good to me. God's blessed me. Let's bow our head for prayer. Father, thank you so much for the privilege of coming. I love this place. I love these people. I love Brother Richardson. God, many of my dear, dear friends I've known through the years are right here in this place. Some of us have grown older. Some of us have lost our hair, and some of us turned gray, and we put a few pounds on, a few miles. But Lord, you've been good to us. And Lord, I just thank you. I thank you for the people that have been good to me, the people right here that I love. And God, you've been good to me. People here that have stuck their hand out and put their arm around my neck and said, Brother Bob, I'm praying for you. My wife was going through the battle with cancer, Lord. I remember so many people here cried with me, prayed with me. Lord, there's people here tonight hurting. There's people here tonight. Yes, thank God, we've all been blessed. And God, you have been good to us. But Lord, there may be somebody here tonight that's been good. And the reason why they've been good, because you're good to them. And what that scripture says over there where it says that you comfort others with a comfort wherewith you've been comforted of God. And it might be that somebody needs to just go and tell somebody tonight you love them. Appreciate them and hug them. Just have a neck hugging tonight. Just have a time of hugging the pastor's neck. Hugging the member's neck. Hugging these dear pastor's necks. And just tell them, I appreciate you, brother. Thank you for preaching the word of God. Thank you for being a man of God. And Lord, maybe somebody here that's been a blessing, that's wrote a letter, made a phone call, cooked a meal, done something. It's been a blessing. God, would you just help us in these times right now. Lord, to spend a little time tonight while they sing. And thank God for those who have not only have we, they've been a blessing to us. We've tried to be a blessing to them. We pray it in Jesus' name. Stand with us, would you?